Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Well, one of our favorite things to do when we go to the mountains for vacation, we like to walk the trails. And often when you're hiking on a mountain trail, you will come across a stream or a body of water that needs to be crossed. And sometimes somebody has built a little bridge there. And some of them are kind of cute. This is a picture that I took in the Smoky Mountains many years ago of a little bridge. It's got a handrail on there that allows you to traverse a creek. So you don't get your tootsies wet when you're trying to do that trail. So sometimes you've got a bridge built. Sometimes a log has fallen, providing a way across, but it's a little bit more difficult to get across on a log, and it takes a little bit of courage to go across a stream on just a log that has naturally fallen there. Sometimes your only option is to hop the rocks. You've got to hop the rocks across the water. That really takes skill, and that takes some balance. I remember one time we had the boys out on a trail. We were rock hopping across a stream, and inevitably one of them, not me, but inevitably one of them lost their balance and fell into the water and got all wet, and we all laughed. We had a good time. Andrew, I'm not sure if that was you. It might have been Stephen. Somebody got all wet. Nobody was hurt. We laughed about it. It was Stephen. True confession in church on Sunday morning. Confession is good for the soul. I wasn't going to name names, Steve. But sometimes when we fall, when we lose our balance, it's not funny. It's not funny. And over the next several weeks, I want to focus our attention on the need for balance in our lives. Does that sound good? The need to achieve balance in our lives. You see, there's no way that you or I can make it through the challenges of life unless we have a sense of balance in our whole selves. If I'm crossing the stream on a log and I lean my weight too far to the right, or if I lean too far to the left, guess what? I'm going to plunge into the water and I'm going to get all wet. If I'm trying to hop rocks, it's even more difficult because you have to lean left, you have to lean right, you have to get your balance forward, you have to get your balance backwards. And if you lose your balance anyway, forwards, backwards, left, right, you're going to fall into the water. You're going to fall into the water. Maintaining our balance throughout life as human beings is a challenge. Can we be honest about that this morning? Maintaining balance in our lives as human beings is a challenge. It is hard. We often don't get to choose the path that we find ourselves walking. Amen? We often don't get to choose that path. We just find ourselves in this story that we're living out. And in the midst of the story that we didn't get to choose, we're called to achieve balance. That's tough in some circumstances. We don't get to choose the path we have to take, friends, but we do get to choose who goes along on the journey with us, which is a wonderful, wonderful comfort. As followers of Jesus, I want us to, over the next couple of weeks, really hone in on the fact that we have this insider view. We have insider information. If the SEC were investigating us, they'd probably come. If we were trading stock and you have insider information to make money, they'd send you to jail. But in this situation, we have insider information as followers of Jesus that enables us to achieve balance in our lives. As a matter of fact, the scriptures, I really believe the scriptures provide us with some very practical guidance to maintain balance so that you and I can not only become whole, but we can also become holy. The scriptures provide guidance so that we can become whole and holy. But I think too often, and we're just going to have some honest moments this morning as we begin this little series this summer, too often in the church, we're so focused on addressing holiness that we do that at the expense of addressing the importance of wholeness in our being. I'm not discounting holiness. Holiness is really, really important. It is the hallmark of who we are as Nazarenes. And we're not going to discount that at all. But sometimes we focus so much on the spiritual, moral, holy aspects of life that we do that at the expense of other parts of who we are that maybe can create a sense of imbalance as we walk. In some ways, I think we're guilty of placing unrealistic expectations on the shoulders of people who are struggling, people who are broken. They come into the church broken. People who need a hand up to help them have any chance of becoming holy. They need to become whole so that they can become holy. They need to become holy so that they can be made whole. Jesus was in the business of making people whole and holy. Amen? And it might just be that sometimes we're undercutting our effectiveness as a faith family, as a church. We might be undercutting our effectiveness as the body of Christ because we've lost our balance in the way that we do ministry, in our approach to building the kingdom. In many ways, I think the modern Western church, if you think about the church in the United States today, go read the papers today about what's happening in other denominations right now. New York Times today in the paper. Go out and read about the church in the Western world today. The church has been hijacked by political agendas. Politicians have hijacked the Church of Jesus Christ in the United States. The culture wars are the focus rather than the war of the kingdom versus the spirit of the air in this world. And we've got these earthly political things that are driving agendas in denominations in the Western church, and it's sucking the life out of our churches. The Christian nation rages while the broken, the shattered, the struggling, and the marginalized get no help, get no value out of our ministry. That should convict us. That should convict us as people of holiness. But when Jesus was asked what was most important for the church, he didn't say, oh, we need to adopt a certain political agenda or avoid another political agenda. And he didn't say we need to get involved in the culture wars and this and that and the other thing. When Jesus was asked what was most important in Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 31, that he's being asked, so what, Jesus, you're a rabbi, you're a teacher, what's the most important thing that the church should be focused on? That's a paraphrase of the question. But Jesus answers, he says, the most important law, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There is one God. That's the first thing. That's the most important thing. Then he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And this is the second one, is to love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So this is the words of Jesus Christ, out of the mouth of Jesus, red letter words of Jesus. As we strive to learn to love God and learn to love others, Jesus teaches us right here in this passage in Mark, it is critical for us to realize that Jesus himself emphasized a holistic approach to our redemption and to our restoration as humanity. From his very mouth, Jesus tells us that learning to love God is more than just a spiritual, moral exercise. You can say, Pastor Joe, I don't think, Mark, read the words on the screen. It's more than just a spiritual exercise. And in this particular situation, Jesus, the rabbi who's being questioned about the laws, what does he do? He goes right to where his Jewish audience is. He goes right to the heart. He goes to the Shema. And Pastor Vicky talked about the Shema last week. This is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Love the Lord your God. And love your neighbor as yourself. That is baked into the oldest, most ancient writings in the Old Testament. Boil down the Ten Commandments. It boils down into love God and love others. It is why it is the mission of our church. We are learning to love God, and we are learning to love others. And as Jesus is asked this question, he goes directly to the mission statement of the temple. The Jewish audience who heard this, they would loud and clear know this. They would understand this. They would identify this. They learned it as children in Sunday school. They could say it off the top of their heads. It was so important and so critical. And in this particular situation, Jesus not only quotes it as it's written in the Old Testament, but Jesus, as the authoritative teacher of the Word, he expounds upon the Shema. He builds it out. He fleshes it out for the people who are listening to him. And for the first time ever, they didn't just hear it the way they had learned it in Sunday school, but they heard Jesus, they heard him say, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. He was preaching it. That's preaching. This is Jesus preaching, expounding on the scriptures, explaining what it means and explaining the implications for people who choose to follow him. We're to love God. Yes, how? Right? We're to love God with all of our heart. But sometimes we encounter broken hearts in our walks with Jesus. Can I get an amen? We're called to love God with all our souls. Sometimes our souls are damaged and sin-stained and need fixed. There is a moral element of purity that we need, a work that needs to be done in our lives. So he's not discounting it. It's an important part of loving God. Love God with all your soul, but sometimes our souls are sin-stained. We're to love God with all our mind. All our mind. But sometimes, can we just be real and admit that our mental health is fractured by the things that we experience on this journey that we're on, in this story that we didn't choose necessarily to live in? Mental health is a huge struggle. We're to love God with all our strength. But sometimes our physical strength and our mental strength can be drained. I don't know about you, but I get to like a Friday evening after a full week beginning Sunday with church and preaching and ministry and all the things that I do. By the time I get to Friday afternoon, I've got a phrase that I use. I am Friday afternoon tired. I am drained physically. I am drained mentally. And I need some time off, so that I can rest my body, rest my mind, and rest my soul, so that I can have the strength to be the person that God has called me to be. Rest, Sabbath is important. We're going to talk about Sabbath this summer. You see, I believe Jesus was able to shed some additional light on the Shema, on our need, because he himself had become one of us. God in the flesh, God incarnate. Jesus, as a human being, as a fully human being, he understands what it's like to walk in our shoes. He fully understands what it's like to be a human. He understands what it's like to have a broken heart. Isn't that comforting this morning, that the God we serve understands what it's like to have a broken heart? He saw with his own two eyes the stain of sin, the broken bodies and the broken minds of the people around him. And he was in the business of making people whole. The miracles of healing that we see in the Bible aren't just of physical healing, but they're of making people whole and holy. He lived among a people who were oppressed by a government that was draining their will and their strength. Jesus gets what we go through. So when he's preaching to us about how to love God, it's coming from a place of personal experience. Hey guys, I've walked this walk for 30 years now, and I know what it means to learn to love God. And it's just not simply to, you know, have heart emojis out there for God on my text stream or my Facebook feed. I need to learn to love God with my heart, my soul, my mind, with my strength. Yes, humanity has a spiritual lacking that needs to be addressed, but the gospel call isn't just for soul purification. It's for whole purification. Amen?
Amen?
Jesus says his followers will love God in a way that will make them not only holy, but it will also make them whole. Yes, Jesus hates sin, but he also hates the impact of sin in our lives. He hates the impact of sin on our body. He hates the impact of sin on our minds. He hates the impact of sin on our souls. And that means we, there's a why here, there's an implication here. That means we, as his followers, we need to be focused on helping people to attain wholeness as well as holiness. Amen? Are you with me here this morning? That means meeting people, accepting and engaging people who are struggling with mental health challenges where they're at. We're really good at doing hospital visits in the church or visiting someone who is physically sick. We're not so good some of the time of dealing with somebody who's dealing with depression or anxiety or all the different mental health struggles that are very prevalent that are out there today. The Church of Jesus Christ isn't meant to be a country club. Did you know that? This is not a country. I am glad you're here this morning, and you are a good-looking crowd. We had some good sound and worship here this morning, some quality worship, right? Amen? And it's really easy when we get together and we have our relationships and we have our friends here in our church circle and we enjoy good music and worship and get entertained. It's really easy to slip into a country club mentality. You know, country clubs, you got to have a membership. And, you know, we ask that you be a member of Maplewood and support us, but not in a country club type of way. But country clubs kind of turn into cliques, right? Well, you can only do X, Y, and Z with us if you're a member. And that means you're a part of our crowd. And Jesus does not mean for the church to be a country club, for people to meet a criteria so they can join in. The church is meant to provide not a country club culture, but an urgent care type of atmosphere for people who are wounded, for people who are broken, for people who are broken physically, broken mentally, whose wills have been broken by the consequences of sin that they did not choose maybe in their lives, or maybe their wills and their body and their spirit has been broken because of sin that they chose in their life. It can happen either way, but people are broken, and we need to create an urgent care type of atmosphere in our church where the church is a place where the broken can feel welcome to come in. Amen? So when you talk about Maplewood to your friends, you can talk about the music, you can talk about your mediocre preacher, you can talk about his awesome wife. But talk to them. Everybody's welcome in Maplewood. Now, we welcome everybody. That's the kind of culture that we want to build in our church, an urgent care kind of culture, not a country club type of culture. So in order to regain balance, kind of get rebalanced in the way that we do ministry as a church, we need to address maybe some of the underlying things that are going on that may be causing us to underperform. And so for me, it's kind of like, hey, we're coming out of this pandemic, and I'm not a mechanic, I'm not Paul Grandinette, but if I want my car running really smoothly after it's been sitting in the garage for a year, then I need to pop open the hood, and I need to check the spark plugs, and I need to check the oil, and maybe I need to fine-tune the carburetor. Maybe I need to check the tires, make sure there's air in the tires. And that's what this is really about this summer. We're really taking a look at what we need to do to optimize our ministry as we move forward out of this pandemic so we can be as relevant and as meaningful and as helpful in the building of the kingdom of God, not just in terms of bricks and mortar, but in the lives of men and women and children. Are you with me? So we're taking it on in for an oil change. And we're looking under the hood. And in order to regain balance, to optimize our balance as a church, we need to address some of the things under the hood that may cause us to be underperforming in terms of our effectiveness in ministry. In order to regain our balance as a body of believers, in Peter this morning, we read it twice, maybe a little humility is in order for the church. Maybe just a little dose of humility is in order for us. In his letter to the church, Peter encourages us. I talked about it earlier. We are shepherds of the flocks that we minister to in our circles of influence. As shepherds of the flock, he says, you need to clothe yourself in humility. Don't be arrogant. Don't be proud. Don't be boastful. Be humble. Be humble. Part of regaining balance requires a humble assessment of where things really stand. If we're going to be effective in building the kingdom of God, we need to be focused not only on winning souls, but also on facilitating healing and wholeness in men and women and children that we minister to. And that means we have to have the courage as a church to grapple with the realities not only of morality and impurity and sin, but also the realities and the ramifications of mental health struggles that our fellow brothers and sister humans that we encounter may be dealing with. Mental health struggles in our own lives, in the lives of our brothers and sisters in the church, in the lives of our brothers and sisters in the community. That phrase, mental health, whenever you say it, it packs a social stigma. It packs a little bit of a punch, doesn't it? When you say mental health struggles, mental health issues, that phrase mental health is a loaded term. And I was trying to find the best picture possible to kind of talk, you know, that social stigma. You got that, what you talking about, Willis? kind of attitude when we start talking about mental health from the pulpit. Give me your best, what you talking about, Pastor? Right? The reality is that mental health, it does. It carries a social stigma. Some people in our society, I'm just going to be straight with you today, okay? I'm your pastor, so love me. I'm just the messenger. Some people in society choose to wear their mental health challenges as a badge of honor. Just going to say it. I'm going to put it out there. They choose to use their mental health struggles as an excuse to rationalize their poor behavior in the past. And sometimes they even use it as an excuse to rationalize their current poor behavior. Well, I can't help it because that's my blah, blah, fill in the blank mental health issue that I'm struggling with. I get it. I'm not poking at it. I'm just saying that sometimes people overemphasize that as a badge of honor. I'm not denigrating the actual impact of mental health issues that people face or are experiencing, not at all. But let's be honest. Let's be honest. On the flip side, and this is going to hurt even worse, okay? On the flip side, as a church, I think there's ample evidence that demonstrates that we Christians, we modern 21st century Christians, we seem to have a low tolerance for mental health struggles in other people. We seem to have a low tolerance for mental health shortcomings as a church. And I think it's because we've been so focused on holiness that we've forgotten that it's about wholeness too. And whether or not we like to admit it, too often as Christians in our self-talk, we never say it. We'd never say that, but now your pastor's going to say it. I don't know if I'm smart or dumb or whatever this morning, but the Lord's telling me I need to say it. But whether we like to admit it too often, we have this low opinion of those who struggle with mental health issues in the church, and maybe too high of an opinion of ourselves. In our minds, too often as the church, we have conditioned ourselves to associate mental health shortcomings with mental shortcomings, or with moral shortcomings, I'm sorry. Let me say that again. We have conditioned ourselves to associate mental health shortcomings with moral lacking, moral shortcomings. We rush to judgment, and in our brains, we formulate these conclusions, and we say, well, their situation's a result of their sinfulness. We judge. We go right to it. You know, we just judge people. Jesus says, judge not, lest ye be judged. But we just go right to it in our brains. We do the formula, and we say, well, that's because of their sinfulness. They brought it on themselves. That might be true in many instances. But church, let's be humble and be honest and acknowledge that that's not always the truth. Sometimes people are struggling with mental health issues, depression, anxiety, struggling with just getting out of bed in the morning, not because of anything they've done, because they've been victims of somebody else's sin. They didn't choose the story that they're in, right? They didn't choose any of this. Might be true that somebody brought it on themselves, but it not always is. Many are victims of abuse. Many are victims of the sins of other people. As a matter of fact, most of the problems in our world can be pointed back either to the sins of mankind or just the brokenness of creation due to the fall of Adam. Natural tragedies and human sinfulness. You can trace almost all of the suffering in the world back to one of those two things. All traces back to the Garden of Eden. Many people are victims of circumstances beyond their control. Maybe they were the victim of a tragedy. Maybe they were just in the wrong place at the wrong time. And they are dealing with overcoming whatever trauma or tragedy that has entered into their life. They didn't ask for it. We don't know their stories. We know they, you know, they may be struggling with a mental health issue. Be careful, church. Be humble about rushing to judgment when it comes to helping become whole and holy. As the church, as the body of Christ, we're called not to look down on people dealing with mental health challenges. We're called to a higher standard. We are called to a higher standard. It's up to us, Maplewood, to bust through the social stigma. It's up to us to bust through that Gary Coleman, what you talking about? You know, it's that side eye. It's up to us to bust through the social stigma that surrounds mental health issues if we're going to realize our full calling as a church. If we're going to realize that. And you're like, Pastor, okay, I get it. I've heard it. I get your message this morning. Why does this matter? Why? Because we're emerging from 15 months of a global pandemic that none of us have ever faced before in our lives. None of us. Jesse, you're probably the most senior among us here today. And even Jesse has not faced a global pandemic in her lifetime. This is a first for all of us. One time. Polio. Polio. But even polio wasn't like what we have today in terms of the mass and the struggle. We're emerging from a year that none of us have ever faced before in our lives. Regardless of your politics, regardless of your occupation, regardless of where you live, mental health is a bigger need today more than it ever has been in our lifetime. It is like the elephant in the room. And we as a church have to be focused on addressing it appropriately. We have to be focused on, and we have to be ready to minister maybe in new and different types of ways with a different type of filter as we emerge from this global pandemic. Mental health, bigger need today than it ever has been. Our kids have been traumatized by this past year. I don't care what you say. It's not been a normal year. For some, it's been harder than it has been for others. But we have children in our community who have been impacted by this. We have teenagers who've been impacted by this. Depression and anxiety. If you look at the polling, depression, anxiety, and other mental health issues, they are rampant in our communities all across the nation. If you look at the data here in Ohio, here in Springfield, the number of people who are struggling with depression, anxiety, and other mental illnesses, it's high. It's way up there. The suicide rate is way too high. Unacceptable. People are losing hope. And we, as people filled with hope and called to learn to love God and called to learn to love Jesus, we should not be willing to sit in our seats and allow anyone to take their own life because they've lost hope. They need to be saved from taking their own life. They need to be filled with the hope of the Holy Spirit. They need to be made whole. They need to be made holy. And I think that just means a few things. I'm just going to leave you with a few thoughts this morning just to kind of level set us as we're talking about these issues. First of all, to effectively bring Jesus to our community in coming out of this global pandemic, we need to meet people at their point of need. not on our terms. Hey, can I tell you about the gospel of Jesus Christ? We need to meet people where they are at. And at church, this is one thing, but you all go out, you all have your circle of influence. There are people that look to you. You are an influence in their lives. You are the only kingdom influence in their lives, and you need to have this filter on because you are the shepherd of that flock, all right? We need to meet people. We need to, you know, that means we have to accept people who walk into our circle of influence as they are. No judgment. It's really easy to rush to judgment. That means resisting the urge to just kind of write them off. It means being sensitive to the baggage that people are bringing in to the conversation, the baggage that people bring in with them before they are ready to believe. Before people are even ready to believe, you've got to meet them where they are at so that you can understand them, love on them, and help minister them to walk across that threshold into belief over time. To regain our balance, we need to humble ourselves and we need to ask the Spirit to give us a new sensitivity and a new awareness of this, church. This is a homework assignment for us. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit would give us a new sensitivity to maybe the silent struggles that people are bringing in to the conversation that we're not even aware of. So we need to meet people where they're at. Second, just because we're walking with Jesus doesn't mean we are okay all the time. You said what, Pastor? Just because we're walking with Jesus doesn't mean we're okay all the time. Followers of Jesus, we're human. We too are susceptible to anxiety and depression and other mental health issues. I want you to know this morning that it is okay as a follower of Jesus to not be okay all the time. And I also want you to know this morning that it is okay to be okay. You know? But I want you to know, as your pastor, I'm concerned about your mental health. I'm concerned about your welfare. I'm concerned about how you're doing. It's been a tough year. And I know that the people of God are not immune from the hard things that we've gone through over the past year. How are you doing? We need to ask the Lord to allow us to be honest. Let's be sensitive to the needs of those around us, even within our church family. Because if we can't do it here, where can we do it, right? Let's start practicing here, applying that filter. You know, it's okay to reach out to your brother and sister and off to the side discreetly and appropriately. How are you doing? We need to be checking in with each other. How can I pray for you? And guess what, church? If you're struggling, I want you to have permission. I want you to have the freedom to say, I am not doing okay, and I need help. That's what this family is for. That's what an urgent care culture looks like in our church. We need to be checking in with each other, but also we need to not put up the brave face. So, oh, I'm fine. Because how often does that happen? You say I'm fine, but inside you're not. That's a lie. Let's live in truth. Let's live in truth. It's okay to not be okay. It's not okay to wallow in the mental health struggle. We are here to support each other. So don't be a hero. You know, reach out for help. That's why we are here. To regain our balance, we need to clothe ourselves with humility. We just need to be humble about this and ask the Father to give us a new empathy, a fresh mindset when it comes to offering the good news in the context of the reality that not everybody's okay. It's okay to be okay. We need people to be okay in the church. We need the whole and holy to be in the ER at the urgent care to help those who are not okay get okay. Amen? This is how it works together. And to that end, finally, we just want to foster an urgent care mindset in our ministry at Maplewood, not a country club culture. Jesus directs us to learn to love with all our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our souls, with all of our strength, And yes, our mission is primarily spiritual. We are to make disciples. But in order to optimize our ability to build the kingdom, we need to foster this mindset that recognizes the reality of the mental health challenges that are so prevalent out there. And we they're very real in our flock and in our community. How can we do that? First steps to admit that maybe our focus has been a little bit out of balance. Gone through this past year, we've been focused on just surviving, right? Just surviving individually, just surviving as a church. It's time to change that focus and to really empathize with the potential needs over that the people around us may be experiencing. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to take some time to explore the realities of some of these mental health issues, scripture-based. We're going to take some time to explore how the good news of Jesus helps us break the cycle, breaks the cycle that causes our mental health struggles. And then we're going to take some time really exploring the concept of Sabbath. The concept of Sabbath in your life is critical to being able to achieve balance, critical to becoming whole and holy. And we're really going to dig deep in what Sabbath really means. What it really means and why it's so important in our lives. Why does it matter? Because now more than ever, we need to be focusing our efforts on the whole person. The whole person, heart, soul, strength, and the mind. Now more than ever, we need a new sensitivity to deal with these mental health issues and to focus on our own mental health. By the way, it's okay for you to focus on your own mental health and take care of yourself. Because I think it's the difference between staying relevant and totally falling out of touch with what's going on in our community. It's the difference between effectively reaching our families and our neighbors and our community for Jesus and risking frustration because the message just doesn't seem to be getting through. We got to meet people where they are. We got to meet people in a way that allows them to become whole and holy. Amen? Are you with me? All right, well, let's pray together this morning. Father, we come to you today. We thank you for this time together, Lord. Lord, we're just being real. We're just being honest. Father, I pray that in the days to come, you would give us a new sensitivity to maybe the mental health struggles of those around us. Lord, we want to be a church that helps people become both whole and holy. Lord, we know the cure to many of our ailments, many of our problems is your holiness. But as human beings, Lord, we need to take a more holistic approach. Father, I pray that you just give us hearts that see where people are hurting, that you give us empathy to meet people where they're at so that we can come alongside and let them know they're not alone in their struggles. Father, I pray that you'd help us to recognize that it is healthy to admit when we are not okay and that we need help. Lord, I pray that you would deploy the Maplewood family so that we can support one another, pray for each other, bring resources in, Lord, to help us through the hardships that we face, Lord, to make us whole and holy people. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be honest about whether or not we're using maybe some of our mental health challenges as excuses to behave badly or excuses for our past behavior. Lord, we want to bring it all under the blood. We want to serve you with our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole soul, all of our strength, Father. Make us whole, make us holy through the power of your Holy Spirit. Heal us of our mental health ailments, of our physical ailments, Lord, so that we can have the strength to participate and build your kingdom. Lord, you've been so faithful in days past. And we pray, Father, that you would just come and move in amongst us in these coming days, in these coming weeks as we emerge from this pandemic. Lord, make us effective. Optimize our ability to reach our community. Lord, make us whole.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.